Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting birthdays today, as well as deaths. One of my most interesting and favorite Russian czars, Ivan the Terrible, a great movie produced by Sergei Eisenstein, and one of the greatest movie score soundtracks written and composed by Serge Prokofiev. He also did Alexander Nevsky. It's very relevant today because of the history of Russia and that region and the Ukraine. The guy who started the first American major detective agency and was out of Chicago, Alan Pinkerton. And the Pinkertons were known to always do the job and also stir up trouble, especially it was a case in Pennsylvania with the Molly Maguires. And they also instigated union violence like this crowd today in Ferguson, Missouri. Bret Hart, great American author. He is the ancestor of Catherine Hart, who was the videographer who 10 years ago did a video, and you can go to Amicus Veritas YouTube site, on the Steve Neri U.S. Navy sailor case, the sailor who was raped here in San Francisco by an illegal alien who had to be connected to the prosecutor, Terrence Yellenan, who illegally prosecuted that case and railroaded this kid into state prison for 16 years. That's not over with. The patron of Richard Wagner, who also helped him build Bayreuth in Germany, Ludwig II, he was gay and he was known as the Mad King, and I think he went swimming in the lake or went rowing in the lake and drowned. Clara Bow, the it girl of the 20s, her birthday. William Brennan, he was the only Catholic Associate Supreme Court Justice, was appointed by Dwight Eisenhower. William Brennan was a liberal, and he was from New Jersey. If you remember War of the Worlds, Michael Rennie, who was also the husband, one of the husbands, the many husbands of Elizabeth Taylor. Busby Berkeley's partner, Ruby Keeler, born on this day. The last communist dictator of East Germany, Erich Honecker. Van Johnson, great actor. He starred in 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, many movies, and also my favorite, Kane Mutiny. He was also reportedly gay in his private life. Another actor, Mel Ferrer. I think he's a cousin of the other, Jose Ferrer. Mel Ferrer was married to Audrey Hepburn. He was also one of the male stars in the King Vidor version of War and Peace, Tolstoy's great novel about the Napoleonic era and the war of the French against the Russians. George Wallace was born on this day. A lot of people don't know this, that he was a champion Golden Gloves boxer in high school. In World War II, he was in the U.S. Army Air Force. I think he was a sergeant. When he first ran for a political campaign, this is poor Southern boy. There were a lot of poor Southern whites who didn't pick on blacks and who weren't wearing sheets. He ran for political office, and as he lost, and as he said, he was not. They used, quote, the N-word against him. He said, "I'm not going to be out niggered again," and so that's why he was seen to be a racist. But actually, he took advantage of the opportunity afforded him. It's interesting. His predecessor was a U.S. Army JAG from World War II also, and Patterson, and his father ran, was also Attorney General, ran to clean up Alabama from Phoenix City, one of the most notorious public corruption episodes in American history. His famous movie, Phoenix City Story, and Patterson Jr. came home, and he ran for office to avenge his father's death. He later became governor of Alabama and later became a judge. Leonard Bernstein, who ironically, a very athletic man, he was eligible for the draft, but for some reason in World War II, he didn't serve and wasn't called up. Came from a wealthy Russian Jewish family. Great composer, did a lot of Broadway shows, On the Town, West Side Story, probably his best known, Trouble in Tahiti. Also, his symphonies, a lot of people don't like them. Married to a Chilean woman. They had three children. Leonard Bernstein was also part of that radical chic in the 70s. And also Leonard Bernstein switched back and forth sexual. He was straight because he had children, and then he was also bisexual. He also was known when he went to Europe that he drank a lot of vodka and cigarettes, and he liked, had interesting male companions. He died from all that cigarette smoking and vodka, apparently. Great actor. He was in the Royal Navy. 007, Sean Connery. And a great opera singer, Jose Van Damme, was born on this day. Among the deaths today, Mary Ball Washington, she was the mother of George. Anne Rutledge, who died at 22, she was Abraham Lincoln's first love, and they were probably going to be married. I forgot what she died of. Clara Moss, who was M-A-A-S-S, she was, I believe, an Army nurse at the turn of the century. She worked with Dr. Gorgas and Walter Reed, who were trying to deal with the mosquito problem in the Panama Canal, because that's one of the reasons why the French failed, because the mosquitoes were killing, infecting the workers, and the workers were dying. And so when Teddy Roosevelt decided that he was going to build it in all the nations that he did, one thing they tried to do was to deal with the infestation of mosquitoes. And Clara Moss volunteered herself to be a human guinea pig. She was infected by several mosquito bites, and she later died. A stamp was issued in her honor. It was 13 cents. It shows you how long ago it was. The mosquito epidemic is very relevant today, not only because of Ebola and that epidemic and the resurgence of tuberculosis, but also the West Nile disease, and we have it here in Northern California. George Lincoln Rockwell, he was the son of George Rockwell, the great American icon artist. George Lincoln Rockwell was gay. He was part of the American Nazi Party. He was reportedly assassinated by one of his lovers or ex-lovers. Great jazz band leader Stan Kenton died on this day, and also another writer from the period of the radical chic, Truman Capote, died on this day. Let's see. Now, we have the political doctors, political animals. Nobody's has gone into this, at least I haven't seen anything. But among the political animals were doctors who were involved in presidential politics. In the 30s, a guy from California, he was actually born in Illinois, worked in Omaha, was a U.S. Army doctor in World War I, Dr. Francis Townsend. He came up with the Townsend Social Security Plan during the 30s, and this plan was anybody over, I think it was 55 or 60, they were to be given $200 a month, the man and a woman. And even if they were married, but they had to spend that $200 within 30 days. So that it was his plan to get the economy moving again. FDR co-opted him and came up with his own Social Security plan. During the Vietnam War, Dr. Benjamin Spock became the vice presidential candidate in one of the radical tickets. Of course, he lost. And then we had in 1990, Dr. Howard Dean. He was also the governor of Vermont, and he was also an official in the Democratic National Committee. Now we have Dr. and Senator U.S. Rand Paul, his father also, Dr. Paul from Texas, was an obstetrician. And Rand Paul's name has come up repeatedly. He's a conservative, and his medical specialty is ophthalmology. We have the first black doctor whose name has come up as a potential presidential candidate, Dr. Ben Carson. His name is often mentioned. Now, we have this mess in Missouri. I guess people have asked, what would Harry Truman have done had he been president? And Harry Truman was from Missouri. How would he have handled this mess in Ferguson? Well, Jay Nixon, when he ran for governor of Missouri, this is an excerpt from one of his political ads.
That car's dirty.
Oh, damn it. I goofed again. I'm sorry. Let's go to Tom Eagleton, and let me go back I thought we had it. I screwed up again. I know I had, let me see, maybe I screwed up on this. One more time. Let me see. Let's see. Well, anyway, the prior to after Harry Truman was president, the next person from Missouri whose name came up for vice president was Tom Eagleton. He was a final choice because the Democrats had screwed up so badly with trying to get a candidate. They tried Ted Kennedy. They tried Abe Ribicoff, who's Jewish. And there's a connection there to San Francisco. We'll get into that another day. Excuse me. And we had, Tom Eagleton, who was also a here we go. Here's Jay Nixon and his excerpt from his political campaign.
When you come from a small town like DeSoto, certain things stick with you. Faith, family, those traditions we love. My mom was a teacher. She helped special needs kids. It was inspiring work. For me and my dad, it was hunting and fishing. Opening day of trout season was a very special day. When times get tough, everybody pitched in. When things picked up, you put a little more in the collection plate on Sunday, something to help the next guy. That's what makes Missouri great. We come together. These guys in Washington just don't get it. All that fighting and nothing gets done. So we're doing things differently here in Missouri. Democrats and Republicans getting things done together. Living within our means. Every year we balanced our budget without a single tax increase.
We cut the red tape and we eliminated the franchise tax.
Thank you, Governor, for cutting the taxes.
We're saving businesses $80 million a year.
And we're getting folks back to work. We've come a long way, but we're not done yet. Our best days are in front of us.
Well, I don't think they'd be saying it now with this mess in Missouri and Ferguson, Missouri. Jay Nixon is interesting. He's also claims to be a Catholic, Roman Catholic. He has a law degree from the University of Missouri, or Missouri, as they call it. His name has come up at one point for vice presidential nomination on the Republican ticket. I thought this was odd because people were saying Jay who? Anyway, I think he was Attorney General, and like Tom Eagleton, who was also Catholic, there were a lot of similarities, although Eagleton, I think, had more ethics than this guy, Jeremiah Wilson Nixon. It's interesting that Darren Wilson, the cop who was accused of shooting Michael Brown. That story is still coming out, and we're waiting to see if it is true that Michael Brown beat up the cop, Wilson, the Ferguson cop who tried to arrest him. So this is going to be interesting. But the fact that Jay Nixon is trying to influence the grand jury proceedings by manipulating who's going to be prosecuting these cases. Now, I was in a grand jury, and it's quite interesting. No lawyers are allowed, just the attorney for the government, whether it's a local or state or federal. It's quite an interesting process. I'll talk to you about it. I'll tell you about it sometime. Anyway, I don't think that he's viable as a national candidate because he failed to handle his situation quickly and effectively, and he should have learned the lessons from Edmund Pat Brown, who was the governor of California during the Watts riots. Brown was out of the country. The lieutenant governor was a guy named Glenn Anderson, who was from Illinois originally, and he fumbled around, and to this day, Watts has still not been fully rebuilt. This mishandling of the Watts 1965 riots in L.A. Effectively killed Pat Brown's further political career and ambitions, and Ronald Reagan ran against him on that basis, and I remember because we came out to California and my relatives, and I saw bumper stickers, if it's Brown, flush it. And I thought, gee, Californians are awfully anal retentive. But what it meant was get rid of Pat Brown. And Ronald Reagan successfully used that slogan, among others, and the mishandling of the Watts riot situation. He used that effectively against Pat Brown. And Ronald Reagan, as we know, won the election and was reelected and also was elected president of the United States. Ronald Reagan was also from Illinois, and his father was Roman Catholic, but he was raised a disciple of Christ, I believe it. Now, in 1972, the Democratic National Committee chose McGovern, George McGovern from South Dakota. George McGovern, like George Wallace and Joseph McCarthy, they were all veterans of World War II, serving in both George Wallace and George McGovern were in the Army Air Force. And McGovern couldn't get Ted Kennedy, Abe Ribicoff, and I think there was another one mentioned as the vice presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. And finally, McGovern didn't have Gary Hart thoroughly vet his next candidate, which was the selection, which was Tom Eagleton. Turned out Eagleton had mental problems or had been treated for a mental problem, and this was not known at the time. When it came out, the Eagleton was, because this was concealed, Eagleton was forced to withdraw. And this is an excerpt from that press conference. This is part of our educational archives. Come on, baby. Huh. For some reason, we can't get it to come up. Come on, Eagleton. Oh, for some reason, I don't know what's going on here.
There Senator we go. Thomas Eagleton was nominated to the Democratic ticket early on the morning of Friday, August the 14th, and late last evening, he withdrew from that ticket. He's in this morning along with Barry Serafin, who's been covering his campaign since that time. Senator Eagleton, at what point in yesterday's events did you actually throw in the towel?
Well, that's a cliche. By the way, it was Friday, July 14th.
Was it July? You're absolutely right.
I'm a nitpicker for details, especially when you come to counting votes. No, I didn't throw in the towel in the sense of that cliche. Yesterday was a very happy day for me under all the circumstances. I received literally dozens and dozens. I would guess over 100 phone calls that I personally took from people all over the country, rich people, poor people, important people, people who technically are not so important but are pretty darn important because they're people. I told him, quite frankly, and that I thought perhaps I was an asset now, that when I went on the ticket, I was Tom who. I added nothing to the ticket in terms of voting power. I subtracted nothing. I felt now that based on the response that I'd received around the nation, Barry was with me in Honolulu and on both Los Angeles and San Francisco, that there were more pluses to Eagleton than minuses. I know there's some minuses, and George McGovern could not have been finer.
What did he say then, Senator?
Oh, we didn't take down exact notes. He expressed his confidence in me. He expressed satisfaction that my health was adequate, but he pointed out, and an argument can be made on this side, that if I remained on the ticket, all the attention and all the debate would be about Eagleton, as George calls it, his past medical history. And it would take away from focusing on some problems that have to be attended to, Vietnam War, the economy, the credibility gap, et cetera, important issues that he must debate and should debate and need to be debated. It's sort of my personal belief that the Eagleton issue would fade away through this month of August, around the first day of August. I mean, 86 years ago, you tell us we had our first census. But I thought it would fade away during this month of August. I'd go to enough cities so that Barry Serafin would get tired of asking me in every city of the country about my health, and that it would run its course. But an argument can be made that it would linger on. So I'm not here to say who's categorically right or who's categorically wrong. I'll just say that George McGovern could not have been finer to me. I believe in him as much as I did in Miami, and I'm going to work for him, maybe work for him doubly hard.
That was Thomas Eagleton. He died when he was 77. I think it was in the late 90s. Now, among the other things, there are events today which are very relevant because of this issue of lesbianism in government. We're seeing lesbians have always wanted political power. They've been jealous of the political power of, quote, gay men. And we've seen this in San Francisco, and I've been told by other political cognoscenti and other people connected to the political goings-on that lesbians are coming. And we saw this with Roberta Actenberg, who was appointed by Clinton to be the deputy secretary of the Housing and Urban Development during his administration. And, of course, there were a lot of scandals with Roberta Actenberg funding under community development block grant lesbian pedophile groups, which were in the schools messing with children. Here in San Francisco, a group called CUAB, which Community United Against Violence, which is a lesbian terrorist front. They, when Governor Wilson would not support gay lesbian marriage, there was a riot that tried to trash both the federal building and the state of California building down here in San Francisco. And also in the San Francisco school districts, there have been allegations that lesbian gym teachers have molested girls in the showers. And so the kids today don't want to take showers. And not only lesbians, it was also some gay rape of young boys. So these things have been going on. Millions of dollars have gone to these front organizations. And then, of course, there's the question of Hillary Clinton and her pushing that agenda in the State Department. Now, it goes back to Sumner Wells, who was a classmate and social part of the social register that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was also part of. They went to the same prep schools, and Sumner Wells was the undersecretary of the U.S. State Department when Cordell Hull was the Secretary of State. Now, Cordell Hull later retired or resigned, I think, in 1943, 44. He was tired. He was the man who realized that the Japanese had double-crossed him on when Pearl Harbor was attacked, and he was from Tennessee. Now, there had been long series of accusations against Sumner Wells, who was very capable, by the way, that he was a closet homosexual. And not only that, it was that the FBI and Secret Service were concerned that when he was traveling that he would slip away from his security detail and go out and pursue his gay adventures. There was a case in Cleveland where he allegedly paid a teenage boy $150, which was a lot of money for homosexual sex in those days, to meet him at the hotel where he was staying. Well, this was blocked by his security detail when they found out what was going on. Now, when he traveled on rail cars, he had a penchant for propositioning sleeping car porters. It's quite interesting that Cole Porter, who was also gay and was also living at that time, did not like the sexual escapades of his buddy Monty Woolley, who also liked black sailors. So it's quite interesting. And there were articles about Sumner Wells being a closet homosexual who was a security risk. Sumner Wells was also a diplomat in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and there's a question of whether he was involved or he knew the Pifre family, which is one of their sons was involved in the molesting boys down there. And it's famous or infamous banking family, the oldest bank in Argentina dating back to 1822. So we don't know if there was a connection there. Anyway, Wells did have a family also, and a book came out recently, and it gets into his background there. Now, Leonard Bernstein was born, was about 2022 when the United States entered World War II. His claim to fame was Bruno Walter was supposed to conduct a Sunday afternoon concert in the New York Philharmonic, which was broadcast on radio. Well, Bruno Walter actually was a German Jewish refugee originally named Schlesinger. Walter got sick, and so Bernstein, somebody suggested him as a substitute, and his substitute debut with the New York Philharmonic, which is known as a conductor killer. If you don't know what you're doing, you better not get up there. Anyway, the concert was a great success, and Bernstein's career, became one of the firemen's, one of the great comets in the musical world, even up until his death in 1990. Bernstein married a Chilean actress, Felicia Montenegro, or something like that, had three children by her, and then had a separation, and Bernstein then pursued his bisexual inclinations with a guy named Tom Cochran. But he was a great musician, and he created on CBS TV the young person, young people's concerts, and they were very informative. He was a great educator. A lot of the people that Bernstein were connected to were also gay musicians, like Aaron Copland, Samuel Barber, all great musicians. And of course, what their sexuality, we're not condemning them or criticizing them. That's their choice. That's they're part of their being. But they were great musicians, and they did contribute immensely to American culture. And their work still is very popular even after long after their deaths. So these are some of the interesting things. Now, Van Johnson was a very handsome man, and in the 40s also, he Lucille Ball who used her connections to set him up in the movies, introducing him to an influential agent or executive in the movie industry. Anyway, Van Johnson was in the great movie 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, which depicted the raid by General Doolittle with the B-25s on Tokyo, over Tokyo. And then Van Johnson was very handsome, was in several other movies, but his most popular, I think, was The Kane Mutiny, in which Humphrey Bogart played a stressed-out captain of a minesweeper, and he snapped from all of the stress that he and a lot of these guys were under immense stress when they were in World War II. So he was gay in his private life. He recently died. Now, we've had the Napa earthquake up in Northern California, about 50 miles from San Francisco. It's a repeat of earthquakes all around California, and here in San Francisco, where we have three faults. The guy who was the earthquake expert who wrote the most recent and the best book, he was the editor of the best book, Denial of Disaster. I highly recommend it. He was also a lecturer at the National Fire Academy. And he was a consultant to the World Trade Center before it blew up or was blown up, whatever. Anyway, Gladys Hansen was the author. She was San Francisco's official historian. And we're going to have more on earthquakes and what really happened in 1989. We're going to end with our usual politics and poker. And we will be back Wednesday. And we're coming up to Labor Day. We will replay our usual audio exclusive interview of one of the ancestors and one of the founders of the American labor movement, Samuel Gompers, who was cigar. That was his background, and he immigrated legally to the United States. And so we will play that interview of this. And ironically, this young man now works in a non-union shop. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I don't want to cause him any problems. He's a nice chap. And so we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine, fine.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it bound? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Madam.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Trade your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot, that's me.
Chief Paul Brizola will be back Wednesday, and also will be the birthday of Lyndon Baines Johnson. We'll get into some of the things and what got me into trouble on ABC Radio, quoting accurately Lyndon Johnson. This is Peter Paul Bozzola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Stay safe, and we'll be back Wednesday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time.